So instead of doing Radha Madhava, we'll just do Mangala Charana. Not the whole thing, but the abbreviated version. So we can all do it together. This is Canto 8, Chapter 20. Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe. Text number 4, which is really one of the more interesting verses in this whole series of verses. For me, anyway. Maybe it's not for everyone, but I like it. Nayasayat paro dharma. Iti hovacha bhuriyam. Sarvaso dummalamanye. Rite lika param naram. Na, not he, indeed, asayat, than compulsion to untruthfulness, para, more, adharma, irreligion, iti, thus, ha uvacha, indeed had spoken, bu, Mother Earth, Iyam, this, Sarvam, everything, Sodum, to bear, Alam, I am able, Manye, although I think, Rite, accept, Alika Param, the most heinous liar, Naram, a human being. So Bali Maharaj is speaking here. There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. Please repeat, there is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. Purport. On the surface of the earth there are many great mountains and oceans that are very heavy, and Mother Earth has no difficulty carrying them. But she feels very much overburdened when she carries even one person who is a liar. It is said that in Kali Yuga, lying is a common affair. But Yaiva Vyavaharike, from Bhagavatam 12.2.3, even in the most common dealings, people are accustomed to speaking so many lies. No one is free from sinful reactions of speaking lies. Under the circumstance, one can just imagine how this has overburdened the earth, and indeed the entire universe. Omagyanta midandasya gena jana salakaya. Chaksu unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Nama om Vishnu padaya krishna prasthaya bhutale. Srimakti bhakti vedanta swami iti namine. Namaste saraswati deve gauravani pacharine. Nirvisesa sunyavadi pastyatya de satarine. Vanchakopa turuvischa kripa sindhu pebacha. Patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namaho namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's quite a powerful statement, quite amazing statement when you think about it. There are so many types of sinful activities, and the list is unlimited. Killing of a brahmana, you know, illicit sex with the wife of one's spiritual master. So many sinful activities. Jnani kani chapapani brahmahat. We chant when we Srimad Tulsit Maharani, Yani Kani Chapapani. Brahmahat, Brahmahat means killing of a Brahmana. That even the sin of killing of a Brahmana can be relieved by chanting the glories of Tulsi Deva as we circulate her. So there are so many sinful activities, but this idea of lying seems to be the weight upon the world, or the heavy weight, the burden, not a weight. A weight is one thing, but a burden is something that is unpleasant. And nowadays, everyone lies. Or there's another thing, it's called sophistry. You know what sophistry means, right? Mataji, no? Sophistry means half-truth, half-lie. Like you might tell a person, you are so qualified to do the work, but at the same time, you don't really want them. In other words, you say something that is apparently correct, but there is some untruth within it. That's called sophistry. Half truth, half lie. That goes on today. Just like they're talking about this war now in Ukraine. And nobody knows what is the actual situation which actually provoked the war. There's so many speculations. And everybody has their own idea because whatever seems right for their benefit, they will express that as the reason. So for my benefit, I'll say this. Someone else will benefit by saying something different about the same thing. So that goes on today. Therefore, nowadays, whatever you hear practically is never completely true. Even in devotee circles. Oh, this pizza tastes so good. And then you taste it and said, I guess that guy really doesn't know what a pizza is supposed to taste like. Mamma mia. So there's so many incidents, and it goes on all the time, as Srila Prabhupada takes the opportunity and says, even in the most common dealings, people are accustomed to lie. No one is free from the sinful reactions of speaking lies. He says, no one. Well, a lot of times for devotees it comes out of sophistry, which is half-truth and half-lie. Or an untruth that appears to be truth but is not true. That's basically what sophistry is. Of flattery, you mean?
Yeah.
If you flatter, is another kind of lying. It's, a flatterer is one who wants to say something nice, although it's not true, in order to be seen as a person who likes to say nice things. So there's professional flatterers. They say all kinds of nice things, and because it's a job, they get paid for that. Flattery, Oh, you're so beautiful. But then you look and you think, what does he see in her, So there is that goes on in the world today as the way of life here. And what is the effect that the earth, who is a living being, she's Mother Bhumi, she carries the entire weight of the population along with all of the manifestations of the world on her surface, she has such a big responsibility to provide and to maintain, and she is actually a great devotee of the Lord. But the burden upon her is so strong that it says that Mother Earth can bear mountains, she can bear everything, but not a liar. So how is there anyone that tells the truth? Yes, there is. I remember I met one person. He was a I don't know, I came to a program. I never saw this gentleman before. And he kept saying, we have to tell the truth. We have to tell the truth. We have to tell the truth. But then I said to him, well, what is the truth? The truth is, you're not this body. But you may think you're this body, and that's wrong. And if somebody says, well, I am this body, they're lying to you. And they're lying to themselves also. So I was trying to discuss with him that truth is relative to a situation. There is relative truth and there's absolute truth. So what's the difference? Relative truth is something that is truth in time, but as time goes on, it changes and it's no longer truth anymore. For instance, someone is very young and beautiful, but then give them, you know, some years later, they become old and there's no, the beauty is gone. There was one famous actress, movie star. Actually, she was a very beautiful lady who used to use her body in order to display herself in that way, and then she would make like a lot of money. Her name was Brigitte Bardot. She was from France. And she was quite famous for her beauty. But then, one day, she was in her apartment and she was looking into the mirror and she was seeing something that scared her, became very appalling. She saw the signs of old age creeping in. And it was so much of a devastation upon her, she could not handle it. At that day, she stopped going public. She was about 50 years old at that time. She stopped going public. She's still alive today. She's almost 100 years old. And she took up animal rights after that, right? She became an animal rightist. So that was good. Old age has a way of changing things for the better. So, but what is there actually truth? Yes, there is truth. Truth comes from the source of truth, Krishna, or Krishna's pure devotee. When the Krishna's pure devotee says something, it's truth. When Krishna says something, it's true. When the Shastra says something, it's true, but it may need explanations for you to understand that it's true. Because Shastra is very, what we say, what's the word, Gupta? A lot of the meaning is not able to be seen so easily simply by reading. So in the Krishna book it says, you can only trust the pure devotee. A pure devotee will never cheat you. A pure devotee will never lie to you. A pure devotee will, as it says in the scripture, straightforward, even in ordinary dealings. In other words, even in a day-to-day interaction with others, they will be straightforward. In other words, they're a gentleman, gentle lady, but at the same time, they don't speak something that has no meaning. They're always speaking for the benefit of others. So then, therefore, whatever they say, you can accept as being truth. Aside from that, there's always question whether something is actually truth or not. And therefore, as it says here, and as Srila Prabhupada mentions, you know, lying goes on. And Prabhupada says the lying is so extensive, it goes beyond the earth into the universe. So we see. Therefore, people believe the news. It's amazing how the news goes on and people actually believe it. All about this coronavirus and all about the wars. You know it's all lying. Most of it's lies. They take a little bit of truth and then they turn it into something different than what it actually is. Because that's politics. Politics means to put your ideas forward in the form of information to others. So it's all lies like that. There was one very famous reporter. He worked for the New York Times for 50 years, one of the most important papers in the world, the New York Times. And then he, after his 50 years, he retired. And there was a speech he gave to all his peers. They all came, many of the other reporters from different papers. You know, it was a celebration to honor him after 50 years of doing work. And basically, he called them all prostitutes. In his retirement speech, he says, "We know you can't say what you actually want to say. It's not like that. We can't report what actually is happening." He made the point. I have it on. I have the actual speech written out. He explains that we are simply puppets for the, you know, for the establishment, and whatever they want us to say, that's what we write. We might write something, and then they'll tell us to change it if it doesn't go according to there. So he was saying that this is the way the, what we say, what is it called, the news industry goes on. They never tell you what actually is happening. They give you something different, or what they want you to hear, like that. Now the world is full of that. That's why it's called Kali Yuga, the age of hypocrisy, lying, and cheating. Hypocrisy is another form of lying. Hypocrisy means to present oneself in a way that is not correct. To make oneself look good in the eyes of others, one says something or presents themselves in that way, in order to get something from that, some benefit from. And that is hypocrisy. So Kali Yuga is characterized by hypocrisy and quarrel. These are the two main titles of this age. So therefore Prabhupada says, whatever Krishna says, that's all we need to know. Boss. He said, boss. Whatever Krishna says, boss. That's all. That's all we need to know. Whatever else everyone else says, we don't care. There might be some practical use in certain things, but basically, everyone is motivated by some gain. No one does anything without gain. I mean, there are a few people who try to work for the benefit of others, but the problem is they don't know what other person's benefit is, and therefore they teach something which is not beneficial for everyone, maybe beneficial for a few people. Like the whole idea of nonviolence. There are many proponents in the world that want to have nonviolence, but when it comes to animals, they don't speak about that like that. And there was one lady, she was on the radio, and she was talking about nonviolence towards animal and how we should be very kind, especially to dogs. She was speaking about dogs. And then one devotee, he was listening, and it was a call-in where you can, they have these shows where you can, someone speaks and then you can call in and ask them a question. And that question. So one devotee called in and said, "What did you have for lunch today?" She was quite shocked, and then she said, well, and then she explained, and there was some meat in there. So she said, the devotee said, well, you're talking about protection of animals, but yet there is an animal called a cow that's the favorite of God. So you want to protect dogs, but what about cows? So she didn't have any answer. She couldn't really give an answer. She went around the answer by saying something else. So people they're motivated by certain, what we say, laudable qualities, but when it comes to personal gain, it's different. Jai Sisi Panchatattva Ki Jai. So if we want truth, we have to hear from the pure devotee who speaks on behalf of the Lord, and the Lord's words are in Scripture. Scripture is the word of the Lord. And the pure devotee explains the word of the Lord according to time, place, and circumstance for the benefit of the audience he's speaking to. So if we continue to hear from those avenues or those venues, then we will always be know what is correct. That's why as Prabhupada said, if you just simply read and study Srimad Bhagavatam, you can know everything. There's nothing in life that will be a bewilderment to you. You'll know everything on all levels, not just spiritual, but everything is there in Bhagavatam. Geography, astronomy, astrology, architecture, everything. Politics. Politics are very much in Bhagavatam, with the Kurus and the Pandavas, and Prabhupada's explanations. Yeah, and then you have economics. Everything is there in the Bhagavatam. All you have to do is carefully read and you'll find whatever you're looking for. So, therefore, we have truth in the form of Krishna, who's come in the form of himself as the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, when we read and study Bhagavatam, we get everything we need, like that. And Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, especially these four books, everything is there. Practical, spiritual, transcendental, everything. Even basic health ideas are there. So the secular world has to keep lying, otherwise they can't go. Prabhupada talks about the Gujarati businessman. No Gujaratis here? Okay. So they have this big mustache, and it goes way down below the lip. And these, he quotes his price. And because he's saying, he says, "My dear sir, for you, we make no profit." And he keeps this big mustache, so he smiles when he says that, so you don't see him smiling. Obviously, as Prabhupada said, how can he be a businessman if he's not going to make any profit? So you have, he's not telling the truth. This is the way it goes on, So, and just like Prabhupada would say in India, they don't lie to you, but they tell you the right thing in the wrong way. Not all Indians, just like you're waiting for the plane to take off, so you're sitting in the terminal. So you go up to the desk and you ask the person, "When will the plane come so we could board the plane?" He said, the plane will be here in 15 minutes. Okay, so you sit down. So you go and you sit down and you come back after 15 minutes and you say, "The plane is here." And the man said, "I told you, 15 minutes. And then you sit down again for 15 minutes and you come back. And he says, he asked again, he said, "Didn't you understand? I said 15 minutes. So nobody's lying. So there's ways it is called. Just like there's one statement where two boys, they stole something. So both boys got caught. And one boy had the item that was stolen, and he hid it. And one man who caught them and said, "Do you have it?" "I didn't steal it." "Did you steal it?" "I didn't have it. I don't have it." So one had it and one stole it. So they both told the truth. "I don't have it. He has it." They didn't say that. "I didn't steal it. He stole it." So there's no truth there. Everything is correct, right? So, this is the material world, you know. So we can only take heart and understand it when we read Shastra. Because Shastra is Aparushad. Aparushad means it's not man-made. It's coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's understood by pure devotion by the pure devotees. And therefore, when they write Shastra, they are, well, we also use a word, they're connecting with the Supreme Lord directly, and they're writing the words of the Lord. Or sometimes the Krishna, just like Bhagavad Gita is what Krishna spoke. And Srimad Bhagavatam is what we speak about Krishna. But both are correct. Because one is coming from Krishna himself, therefore it's absolutely correct. And the other one is about Krishna by those who are pure devotees who know Krishna and can speak exactly the meaning of Krishna, just like Srila Prabhupada. Why did he title his Bhagavad Gita as it is? Not like Bhagavad Gita as I think it should be. The new edition. because he understood that people don't know what Krishna is saying, and therefore only a pure devotee can really explain the words of Krishna in the same way that Krishna wants that explanation given. So we can tell, we can understand when a pure devotee writes something or speaks something, it is correct. It is the same thing that the Lord says or the Lord wants to be said, either one. So this is how we can see things, and therefore we have no problem. And that's why, again, when Prabhupada said, whatever Krishna says, bus, that's all. Bus means there's nothing else we need. That's all. So we have the source, we have the perfect source. All we have to do is hear from Krishna or Krishna's pure devotee. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's books are actually none different than Krishna, because they are actually the words of Krishna coming through the pure devotee who has realized Krishna by devotional service. Okay, so these are some little things we can think about. Otherwise, everybody else is not telling you the right thing. Okay, any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lecture. I would like to ask you some questions on this topic of the true and that I have in mind. And first question is about the truth understanding. Is it that in different Varnashrams they had different level of understanding of the truth, and you know how it's supposed to be, you know, the absolute truth is, you know, so big. And
in the Varnashram, there's different levels of understanding of the truth, just like in different levels of going to school. You get basic mathematics, you get more advanced mathematics, and then you get the highest of all math. So as you go to an educational system, the same subject is taught with more detail and more understanding. So Varnashram really means to engage in your swadharma, your nature, and work according to that nature, and follow the rules and regulations of your particular varna. That's all. If you're a Brahmin, follow the rules and regulations of varna, Brahmin, and work for that. Now there's Daivi Varnashram. A Daivi Varnashram is Krishna consciousness, where you work in a certain way according to your nature, and you offer the activity in devotion to Krishna. That is spiritual Varnashram. That is what we are concerned of. The material world, nobody can really practice Varnashram nowadays, because no one really, because kalo sudra sambhavan, before you can actually get to your varna, you have to have training. Training has to be there. Train as a kshatriya, train as a brahmana, train as a vaishya. Sudras don't need training.
Thank you. Can I ask you another question?
Was that please? Clear enough? Yeah.
Yeah. Clear. Thank you. Okay. I have another question on the behavior about the truth. Like you said before, is not good to lie, but self-correction. I mean, if one sees maybe he is envious, you know, self-correction, then he can say, you know, something, and because he's envious. And then after some minutes, he understands he was envious. Can he, you know, correct himself?
Yeah, he should correct himself. He should correct himself.
But because he said another thing before, maybe it's not so good, you know, to change.
Yeah, we do that sometimes. We tell somebody something, then we realize we didn't give him the correct understanding, or we gave him partial understanding. And then sometimes, in order to correct it, we find it's more difficult to correct it than it is to just allow it to go on. So people do that. But I think a gentleman will correct things.
Correct?
Yeah, because it depends. There are so small things that are so insignificant that it doesn't matter. But if something is significant and it will cause something to go in a different direction, then there should be some correction.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. But if... Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So I have to ask first, Maharaj. So I remember Prabhupada one time when he got something, some prasadam, and then he said to his disciple that it was good. And then when he went out, he was saying to another devotee it was barely eatable.
Yeah.
So he was like, you know, it's not alive. But how? Why? In what way can we understand?
He was trying to encourage the devotee. I do that all the time. You know, someone Dhatri brings me prasad, I say, oh, it's so good. Because she'll cry if I say something else, so. No, she cooks good. Sometimes. So yeah, it's like that. We in devotional circles sometimes, in order to encourage devotee in their service, you say something different about their service. Mm-hmm. But it's done not as a lie, but as an encouragement. But sometimes you have to tell them that actually that this needs to be corrected. And I think it's how you say it, it's important. If something is obviously wrong, if you become very angry or you speak strongly, it might really hurt the person. But if you say, well, my dear sir, my dear madam, you look very nice today. I like the way you're dressed. Yeah, you have good choice of clothes. Oh, by the way, did you cook it today? Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yeah. I think you were spending so much time getting dressed so nicely that you forgot to put the salt in. and therefore I could not eat it. You put too much salt in. Yeah, you put too much salt in. You were, you know, in the mirror while you were shaking the salt shaker. So this is another way of, you know, going around the truth. But I think we have to be sensitive when we do correction. That's a whole area that devotees have to really learn the art of. If you're in a position to correct someone, and then you have to learn how to do that in such a way is that the correction goes through nicely and the devotee gets the message without finding fault in the devotee itself. You're so stupid, you can't do anything right. You know, you want to avoid that. Sometimes I do that. It's just my nature. But anyway... But I know it's wrong. Right, Bhakti Vatsali? But if you're in a position of correction, it should be done so the message goes through rather than the energy becomes the main thing. The idea is the energy. So, yeah. To be a little sensitive. I forgot your question. What did you say?
I just mentioned that the Prabhupada's case when he said that it was very
Sensitive. Oh, yeah. He was, yeah. Yeah, he's done that. We do that. But actually, it's to encourage the devotee in their service. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have two questions from Avadhutarai Prabhu. God has inconceivable energies, but Prabhupada says that they are not inconceivable to the advanced devotees. Can you please explain this?
Yeah, it's inconceivable until Krishna reveals that inconceivable, and then it becomes conceivable. So advanced devotees get revelations or realizations in the execution of their devotional service. So that is how this is called intuitive knowledge, that knowledge that comes within the heart or within the mind automatically. It doesn't come by study or by outside sources, it comes by realization. And that's a source of knowledge. We can't neglect. People get realizations, or they get, and it's called knowledge comes in the heart automatically. So the conceivable, the inconceivable becomes conceivable to a person who is advanced in devotional service, yeah. But Krishna can even reveal the inconceivable to someone who is not so advanced. That's up to him. But it's a revelation, it doesn't come simply by your endeavor. Yeah.
And the second one is, in one morning walk, Srila Prabhupada says, we are not humble in presenting the truth. We are not humble. A dog is humble. Why we should be humble? It is a sign of weakness. Could you please comment on this?
Prabhupada was very humble. Well, when it comes to speaking the truth, you don't have to somehow or other patronize the truth in order for people to accept it. In other words, water it down and speak straight. But satyam priyam, satyam bruyam. Satyam priyam, satyam bruyam means speak the truth in a palatable way. Like that. And there was that example where the devotees who had heard Prabhupada speak about Lord Chaitanya's interaction with Balabhacharya, where he pretty much smashed Balabhacharya for Balabhacharya's statements that he made in relationship to Krishna consciousness and to Sridhar Swami. And so the devotees wrote an article about that and appeared in Bhakti Godhead. And Sumati Mavariji, the devotee, the lady who ran the steam liner that brought Prabhupada over, she read the article, and she was not very happy. And she wrote a letter to Prabhupada because they had criticized Vallabhacharya, which is her, Sampradaya Acharya. She's a follower of Pushti Marg, and he was the head of Pushti Marg. So Prabhupada wrote back, yes, that, you know, he apologized for the, he said the devotees are neophyte, they don't know really how to thing. He apologized, but then he explained to the devotees, such a priyam, that you must speak the truth in a palatable way, in a way that is acceptable. And then you just do your best you can. Not, it's not always acceptable, even by persons who are, you know, intelligent. But, I mean, there's books written that we should speak strongly. Speaking strongly is good, but speaking according to time, place, and circumstance is more effective than just speaking strongly. There are people who like to imitate Prabhupada's strong speaking and consider that to be acceptable or the right thing to do. But you, even Prabhupada said, you cannot imitate me. He said, you know, because people were trying to imitate Prabhupada the way he would smash people. But Prabhupada was a pure devotee, and a pure devotee has a compassionate mood. He was very compassionate to everyone. If we try to imitate, you know, speaking like that, we may not have that same compassion, and therefore it becomes false ego. That's all. So when Prabhupada's speaking, he took that quote out of context. That's all that is. That's out of context. So you can take any quote out of context and try to use it as an absolute statement, but it doesn't work like that. You have to see the quote within the context that it's being given and then understand how it applies and not just pick something from a statement and call it, you know, well, I'll follow this. You know. Prabhupada said, oh, all women are less intelligent. But then when Prabhupada said, but when a woman becomes a devotee, she becomes very intelligent. So you can take, you know, the statement from one angle, or you can take it from another angle. Yeah. And Prabhupada said things that are apparently contradictory. Like, I was just thinking of something that I heard the other day. Can't remember right now. But in one case, they're correct, and in another case, they're not. Just like he said, you should not use my letters as statements of absolute truth. Because he's writing to a certain person, and he's giving that person what he feels they need to hear. So we do that. We take statements from his letters and say, this is what Prabhupada said. But Prabhupada said, don't do that. He said, what I really said is in my books, not in my letters. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to speak about what I'm referring to. But maybe you know what I'm referring to anyway. And, you know, they take things out of context and take it in Prabhupada's letter. Prabhupada said this. But when it comes to his books, you find something different or opposite. So, therefore, you know, we have to understand things in context and circumstance. What Prabhupada was saying at a particular time to a group of particular people, and what he was trying to communicate. And then you can understand that to be true in that particular situation. But it may not be true in all situations. So we do that. We look for things that we like. In Prabhupada's statement, we say, Prabhupada said this. Well, Prabhupada also said, people say Prabhupada said, but Prabhupada didn't say. Prabhupada said that. So, again, there are letters, there are room conversations, there are statements that he just gave to his devotees in a one-to-one conversation. There are his books, there are his lectures. And so what Prabhupada said, if you want to understand my teachings, you read my books. He said, that's where you can understand everything. It's in the books. These other things are true according to time, place, and circumstance. And they may even be true beyond that. But then again, it has to be understood with the different situation that it applies to. You can't just say. That's why even now, the senior devotees argue, because Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, Prabhupada said this. Prabhupada drank some 7-Up one time. They gave it to him. Prabhupada was thirsty. He said, give me something. So they gave him some 7-Up, you know, that fizzy drink. Prabhupada liked it. So every temple in ISKCON started buying 7-Up. And all the devotees were drinking 7-Up. Yeah. Prabhupada stopped it. He said, what is this? So, yeah, we have to understand things in context. That is the way you understand. The letters are contextual, very, very much so. Room conversations are less contextual. His lectures are even less even contextual. And his books are absolute truth. But you can understand things in context. So that statement is just something pulled out of context, that's all that is. You have to understand the whole situation before you can actually comment on that like that. Okay, anything else? Yes, Sadbhuj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have an example of apparent contradictory in two things that Prabhupada says.
Right.
And about surrendering, I have here verse that explain after many, many births, one who is actually in knowledge surrender unto me, in Bhagavad Gita verse 7:19. And in one famous lecture, that we can find on YouTube, one disciple asked Prabhupada, how much time we require to surrender? And Prabhupada very powerfully made that point, even 1 second, mm-hmm. or no, after many, many births.
Yeah.
So, according to this verse, surrendering means...
Are you thinking
means,
in Bahunam Janamanante?
Yes, Janamamam yes,
Prapadyante
yes.
Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadhuram.
Yes. So in
after
purport,
many births and deaths, mm-hmm. he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes. Such a great soul is very rare.
So it is actually a gradual process. It is not after 1 second.
Prabhupada
is my question.
Prabhupada is talking about the jnanis who actually are trying to understand the absolute truth. But after so many lifetimes of jnana, they finally come to bhakti. That's basically what he's saying. Yeah, if they take jnana all the way to its perfection, then they understand Vasudeva Sarvamiti. That is the perfection of jnana. What is that jnana? That Krishna is the absolute truth, and surrender to him is the highest form of knowledge. That's what that verse means. It doesn't mean that everybody who's living has to go through so many births before they can become Krishna. It doesn't mean that at all. You have to understand that verse. It means for jnanis who are studying scripture and they finally come to the point of understanding, you know, that Krishna is the cause of all causes and all that is. That's the perfection of their study. But if they don't come to that, then they'll keep going life after life.
And in that context, surrendering supposed to mean, Prabhupada, I fully believe to you, I will do accordingly everything you say. Does that mean surrendering, actually?
Well, surrender, as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, it's a moment-to-moment feature of one's life. You could be surrendered one moment and the next moment not, and vice versa. One who is surrendered means one who is fully engaged in devotional service, following the instructions of their spiritual master. That's surrender. And that's a moment-to-moment activity and consciousness. Yeah. So we have to keep surrendering every moment. It's not like, well, I'm surrendered. I got initiated, that means I must be surrendered. Right? No. Surrender is a process, and it goes on to the time of death. You could be at the time of death, and then you decide, well, what's Krishna doing to me? I don't want to go. That means you're not surrendered.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Bhakti Siddhanta makes that point when he speaks about initiation. Initiation it means to a moment-to-moment surrender to who you are and what is your relationship with Krishna. It's not just something you do and you get it done with. It's not like that. Yeah, so that's important to understand. Am I surrendered in this situation? You look at the situation you're in or you're about to go in and you see what it means to surrender to that situation. That means give yourself completely to the situation by serving in the best way possible according to the instructions given by your spiritual master and how to act in every situation. We have to know. Prabhupada gave everything in his books. His lectures are there. But he's also given personal instructions to certain devotees. Our spiritual master does the same. So we might get personal instructions, but then we also have to know the general instructions that apply to everyone. And there's no excuse. That's why the third offense to chanting the holy name is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. And Prabhupada uses the example, you go to court, and the judge says, well, you're guilty. But my dear judge, I didn't know that I broke the law. I didn't know that was against the law. Judge says, ignorance of the law is no excuse. So we have to know how to perform devotional service, or else we won't make any advancement. So you have to read the books, you have to hear the lectures, you have to ask the questions, you have to get clarifications, you have to understand. Otherwise, you may know 80%, but that other 20% can get you in trouble that you don't know. Yeah. This is an educational process, not just a spiritual. Spiritual process means spiritual knowledge. That's why we have so many books. Not because we want to, we're not book salesmen, so we found a good business now. So we write some books so we can make some money. That's not our program. Program is to read the books and understand it and apply it. Okay, does that help? Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. 11 o'clock today is Yajna. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.